محمد and his pure immaculate Ahlul Bayt.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وجن فرجه. So inshallah tonight I'll give a few words on Tawheed, and then from tomorrow night for 3 nights we'll speak about Messianism, Mahdaviyyat inshallah. Now whether you are Muslim or non-Muslim, we are all in search of happiness. We're all in search of perfection. We are all in search of salvation. And different people, be they Muslim or non-Muslim, they find that perfection, they find that happiness in different things. Some in food, the car, house, some in knowledge, power, and so on and so forth. And different levels of perfections exist, and that's a self-evident fact. What I'm going to say tonight, it's all based on 3 suppositions. I'm presupposing 3 things before I continue and speak about Tawheed. These 3 things I'm not going to prove, but everything is based on them. All that follows is based on these 3 facts. And there's no need to prove it, because these 3 are self-evident facts. And they are, 1, that I exist, or you exist. No one denies that. Secondly, different perfections exist. The varying things with differing levels and degrees of perfection. It's not only one thing which is perfect. And finally, I or we really want and desire those perfections. It's something exists there that is pulling you towards it. Now, which perfection one acquires and suffices with, that's different depending on the person, the context, the so on and so forth. So on appreciating this and using different perfections during one's life, somewhere down the line, one asks oneself, whilst living in this world, experiencing and acknowledging different perfections, somewhere down the line, differs from person to person, one asks oneself that, I want something more perfect than what I have now. Now this is, the soul is growing now. This is a sign, it's a positive sign. We all have it sooner or later. Everyone to their own degree. But here the soul is maturing. The soul is growing. For a period of time they sufficed with X, Y, and Z as perfections and sources of happiness. Now they say, no, there must be something more than the car, house, food, power, knowledge. They say, I want something more perfect than what I have now. That's not to say what they have now lacks perfection, lacks salvation or happiness, but they want something more perfect. So they ask themselves, why not go in search of that thing which is more perfect? Then one may find that more perfect entity in a book, in a person, in a prophet. That's okay. One is growing. And then again, after a period of time, they say, no, I want something more perfect than the book, than the prophet. This is the soul growing here. The existential I is growing. One is evolving. The I is getting stronger and stronger. Because of that inner pull towards perfection. Until eventually one reaches a stage where one says, I am now in search of the most perfect of entities. I don't want to suffice now even with the book, the prophet, or other things. I want the most perfect entity, that which is perfect in all dimensions. The car, house, food was good, these material things. I wanted more. Knowledge, power were good, there were limits to it. The book, prophet, there are still limits to that. Where is perfection? Absolute perfection. I'm in search of that. That entity which is perfect in all dimensions. Now this is a very good sign now. One is growing a lot. Whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim. So far, there's nothing specifically Islamic about this route of action. If you're a human, you have to undergo this. Whether you're a Muslim or non-Muslim, you are maturing as you undergo this route of action. So, absolute perfection becomes the goal in all dimensions. You want that. So here now, what's going to help us find that absolute perfection? Well, the minimum tool and device that will help us to find that absolute perfection, and that device which everyone, all people from all denominations and cultures have, is one's rationality. We all have that. So, Muslim or non-Muslim, you're in search of absolute perfection, and now with the help of rationality you want to find it. What do you do? These are all things which happen to everyone. I'm just categorizing and classifying it for simplicity's sake. We all undergo this, all people of all worlds. Some more freely, some are brainwashed, not so freely. But it's all happening to everyone. Then some people may find that absolute perfection, as they think, in the food, in house, in knowledge, in books. Well, we don't want to judge them, everyone to their own. Everyone has their own limits. Here one's rationality now is in search of absolute perfection. Rationality now asks questions. So rationality first says, one's apple says, okay, I'm looking for something which is limitless. Shouldn't be limited by anything. Why? Because I want absolute perfection. Absolute meaning that perfection in all aspects. Doesn't leave anything short. If it leaves something short, it means there must be an entity stronger than that. I don't want that. I want that entity which is perfect in all areas. So, it shouldn't be limited by matter or place. That thing which I'm after has to be something which space does not limit. If space does limit it, it may contain a degree of perfection, I don't deny it. But since it's possible for something else to exist that is not limited by space, I'm after that for now. So you're looking for something which is not bound by space. Then rationality continues. I want something which isn't bound by time. It has to be timeless. If it started at X time, once upon a time it had a start, well, I don't want that. What happened before? There was an entity before that. I'm looking for that entity which knows of no time, always was, is, always will be. Prophets, for example, came once upon a time. And we respect them, and they have degrees of perfection, but I want something else for now. Here, whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim, this is your search. For now, you haven't been labeled any religion yet. This is one's search for Allah, for absolute perfection here. Although, here, I don't want to use the word Allah yet, just that one's search for absolute perfection doesn't know any religion yet. Although That isn't strictly true. I mean, even Muslims can go in search of absolute perfection. Or non-Muslims. I don't want to... Yes. Anyway, so here one says, shouldn't be bound by time. If it's bound by time, it's not that absolute perfection that I'm looking for. Something which always was, is, and always will be. And therefore, that thing which I'm looking for, which is timeless, has to be, according to my rationality, these are all rational faculties now at play, it has to be infinite. See how all these are following one another? Who's doing it? Our own Aklis guiding us to something which has to be infinite in order to qualify as absolute perfection. We want that absolute perfection. It has to be timeless, not bound by space. It has to be infinite. And if it has to be infinite, it has to be one. You can't have two infinities. Who said so? What's rationality again? Has to be one entity, absolute perfection. And then this timeless, spaceless, something that not bound by time and space, which is infinite, which is one, it has to be independent and not dependent on anything. And this independency follows from that being one and infinite. It always was, is, will be, and was always independent as a result. If it's dependent on something, well, I have to search elsewhere. So, our innate nature, the fitrah, be it in Muslims or non-Muslims, is pulled towards finding such an entity, something which is real, and that entity being absolute perfection. Now this much the common layperson can make an effort. Even if one lives behind the mountains and has no access to the world, and they've never had any access to prophets, this much one can acquire to some extent. And again, it differs, the level of that extent, the degree to it differs too. But still, as long as one has rationality, which is something which is intrinsic to us as human beings, this much we can establish. Now what follows from here? Here, now Muslim philosophers, Muslim Urafa, the Sufis, they now help us with the help of the texts, with the help of rationality too, but something which is now maybe beyond the understanding of the common layperson. Things now become a bit deeper now. Now we want to see what is that absolute perfection that always was, is, always will be, is independent, infinite, one, not limited by time, space, so on and so forth. What is it? The philosophers come and say, we can prove what it is. And they come up with the answer that thing which you're looking for, under the guise of absolute perfection, is pure existence. Here, now it gets difficult now. Here now we have to think about this. We have to deliberate a bit more, to put an effort now into understanding these terms. Pure existence. Sorry. Always was. Is. Always will be. Existence, qua existence. Pure existence, not existence in a limited shape or form. Existence in a limited shape or form, in a measured degree, we call it creation. This is not creation, this is existence. But it's pure. pure form, existence as in and of itself, or as the philosophers say, existence qua existence. There's no beginning to it. If there's a beginning to it, what was there before? You're forced to say, well, there was nothing before. It doesn't exist. Nothingness doesn't exist. This is an important premise to understand. We don't have anything called nothingness. Whatever is existence. So that pure existence, before taking a shape, form, or whatever, that always was. If you put a beginning to it, what happened before? If you say existence, well, that's what we're saying. Existence always was. If you say non-existence, we say no. It's impossible. There's no room for non-existence. It doesn't exist. You can't point to something and say this is non-existence. We don't have such a thing. X created thing has a beginning, but existence has no beginning. Creation has no beginning, but X created thing has a beginning. This book didn't exist pre-eternally. But pre-eternally there was created things, there was creation. Creation doesn't have a beginning. If creation has a beginning, then we ask them, well, what was before that? If you say it was another creation, well, that's okay. It emanated from something else which was a created thing. Which emanated from something else which was a created thing. But if you say it has a beginning, creation, what happened before? We'll say this was something else. It's okay, we accept that. But you're saying there's a beginning to creation. What was there before that? Then they're forced to say nothing. If they say that, we say, no, we don't believe in nothingness. It doesn't exist. Now, if we see Nahjul Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. خلق الله الأشياء من العدم. Allah creates things from nothing. This we have to explain. Because the premise, a rational premise, is that nothingness doesn't exist. So what does Amir al-Mu'min, what is he referring to here? Here, the point is this, that this book emanated, let's say, from paper, emanated from a tree. At the tree stage, this book didn't exist. Creation is existence with limits. Length, breadth, depth, weight. This was nothing once upon a time. It was a tree. There was no book. The book was nothing. Not nothing as in non-existent. Nothing as in, it wasn't this form, with this shape, this weight, because it was a tree. All things came from something which was nothing, because the shape, the weight, the form, the length, emanated from something else. That's what it meant. Not that things were created from nothingness. So nothingness sometimes is used contrary to existence, meaning non-existence, that it's impossible for. First of all, it doesn't exist. And to say that existence or something came from non-existence, it's a contradiction in terms. Now, this is something which the Urafa, the philosophers, believe in. It's an important premise. Theologians, many of them don't accept it though. They do believe in something referred to as non-existence. Now this is for you. In Aqa'id, there's no taqlid. It's you and your rationality. But the line I'm taking here is the line of the philosophers and Urafa. So, that which was, is, will be, knows of no time, isn't bound by space, is infinite, It's one. It's independent from all else. It's the root to all else. Pure existence. That existence, we say that pure existence, which the philosophers call that absolute perfection, pure existence, in Islam, we call it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That existence, pure existence. There's no beginning to it. There's no end to it. Everything depends on it. It's infinite. It's one. Existence is one. Whatever is, exists in a different shape or form, in a limited shapes and forms. But that existence, qua existence, is the root to all existence, existing beings. Everything emanates from it. No created thing can exist without that existence. The Urafa call that pure existence, call that absolute perfection, which the philosophers call pure existence. And the theologians call Allah, the Urafa call it who? He. And we'll come to that in a minute. So, Islam's slogan, La ilaha illallah. On the outside it means there's no deity but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it has many inner dimensions to it. There's no existing being save Allah, who is that pure existence. See, now things become different now. La ilaha illallah. There's no being, there's no existent, save for that pure existence. Nothing is separate from it. Nothing is independent from it. It's one, because it always was, is, will be. It's infinite. It didn't stem from non-existence, because it doesn't have a beginning. It always will be. It doesn't have an end. End to what? I mean, what will it end as? As nothing again? It just continues. It's the source of all else. And this pure existence, this who, this transcends in all things, because no thing can be without that pure existence. It's impossible. At-Tawhido, again, Amir al-Mu'mineen Nahj al-Balagha, At-Tawhido isqat al-izafat. Allah, it's very delicate, this. Tawhid is the process of cancelling the izafat, the additional parameters, the extra things. Anything, this book for example, take away its color, size, shape, breadth, length, concept, barzakhi concept, aqli concept, take away everything, strip it from everything, what do you get? Tawheed. Who? Pure existence. At-Tawheedu isqatul izafat. The who, that pure existence, transcends in whatever is. Nothing can be without it. You want to reach it, isqatul izafat. Take everything away, strip it from all dimensions of essence and creation. Everything. You get to the who. To him. Existence qua existence. And the Quran says, Hua, Hua being him, that who. The vav isn't technically part of the word. The word, it's only the ha. The vav is just something for simplicity's sake in pronunciation. But anyway, هو الذی خلق السماوات والارض. It's that who that created the heavens and the earth. See, the Quran says who, because it's that who, that existence coexisted, that transcends in all things. The samawat and the ard, the heavens and the earth, can't be without that existence, coexistence, without that pure existence. Huwa alladhi. It's that huwa that created everything. Now that's not to say that the mountain is Allah. Na'udhu billah. That's not to say God is the sun, God is the moon. No one's saying that. And be rest assured, no arif has ever said that. It's just that in their wordings of some of them, they have gone astray in how they worded things. But no rational mind is limiting Allah. These people are trying to, in search of perfect, absolute perfection. Of course they won't say, God is the sun, or God is the moon, or this is God, or this is God, no other way. But whatever is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a manifestation of that pure existence. Whatever is, i.e. created thing, is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that pure existence, limitless existence in some shape or form. And then some comparisons they give is like the sun and the rays. The rays being a manifestation of the sun. No one says the ray is the sun. And they also give other examples, but these are just examples that they use. Right. Now, let's go to the Quran again. Surah Al-Ikhlas. There's a reason that it's mustahab to recite this at least once in every prayer. Allah's identity is opening up in this surah of the Quran. Chapter 112. Qul, say, who? Say, Qul, who? This who, which means he, isn't necessarily a pronoun, according to the orator. He is a proper noun, alam. And it's the most hidden of Allah's names. It's the most esoteric of Allah's esoteric names. He. Which the philosophers call a pure existence. Existence, coexistence. Qul hu. But it's very hidden. The nature of the word is very hidden. Only has one letter. The vav isn't strictly part of the word. This needs opening up. This esoteric of esoteric names. Surah Al-Ikhlas, open it up for us. What's who? Allah. That who is Allah. The Quran is introducing the who. Think it's Allah. Qul, who? Allahu Ahad. It's one. It's not a numerical one though. It doesn't have a second, a third. It's infinite. It can only be one. Existence, coexistence, pure existence. It has to be Ahad. There's no beginning to it. There's no end to it. It's infinite. Always was, is, will be. Everything stems from it. See? These are important to understand. We want to acquire unity with absolute perfection. There's a reason that it says As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. For goodness sake, this is a means for us to ascend. Instead of just regurgitating these verses with no understanding or no effort. There's a purpose for this. This is Allah's identity opening here. Qul, who? Allahu Ahad. Allah. Now open this oneness. What does it mean? Allahu Samad. What does Samad mean? How is that translated? I have no idea. But it means, in another verse, it does give a definition of samad. Huwal awwalu wal akhiru wal dhahiru wal batin. Allah is the first, the last. He's the outer, the inner. Nothing is Allah-less. Nothing is free from existence. That's what samad means. Allah is everywhere. There's no space or time or thing which is Allah free. If you believe in that, well, you have to look for something else. You want absolute perfection. That's why we say there's no beginning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you put a beginning to something, it's going to be problematic. What happened before? There's no beginning even to creation. When Allah was from pre-eternity to post-eternity, creation, which are manifestations of Allah, were from pre-eternity to post-eternity. Allah is never manifestation-less. If you deem a period of time where Allah is not manifesting, there's a rational probability, possibility that, well, no, I want a higher entity than that. Something which isn't manifestation less. Allah always manifests. Kullu yawmin huwa. Kullu yawmin hu. Fi sha'an. Every day, well, day doesn't mean a 24-hour period. Yawm means manifestation. And that's why we call the day which manifests things as yawm. Every manifestation, huwa, hu, fi sha'an. Allah is at play. Allah is at task. Allah is manifesting. Kullu yawmin, moment to moment, from pre-eternity to post-eternity. So the chicken and egg example, which came first? There is no first. The egg came from a chicken, the chicken from a previous egg, from a previous chicken, from a previous, just keep on going back to pre-eternity. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Okay, the external meaning, he didn't give birth to anything. Well, inshallah, we've all passed that stage. We didn't accept that. But the inner meaning, nothing, because when someone gives birth to something, that thing which is given birth to becomes separate from the person who's given it birth to. Nothing becomes independent or separate from Allah. Because Allah is a pure existence. There's nothing outside existence. Nothing can become separate from Allah. You can't envisage it rationally. It's impossible. Whatever is existence. There is nothing outside existence. Lam yalid. Wa lam yulad. He wasn't given birth to. Well, the external meaning of that, inshallah, we've passed that stage. But Allah isn't a part of a greater thing that Allah was given birth to, as if he's a part of something greater. If that's the case, if that's the Allah you believe in, you have to go to that greater thing. You're after absolute perfection. So it must be determined what one is looking for. You're searching for absolute perfection. Don't say, I'm searching for absolute in the skies. Allah is everywhere. Don't limit it. Don't say everything has a cause. What's the cause of Allah? You've misunderstood Allah in the first place. You're after absolute perfection. Define that, what you're looking for, before you ask these questions. What do you mean, what's the cause of Allah? The question is wrong. The question is a contradiction in terms. It has to be determined what one is looking for before one searches for that thing. You're looking for something which always was. You're looking for absolute perfection. What does it mean? What's the cause of that? Absolute perfection is everywhere. Nothing is without it. Even it's wrong to say, I find Allah via creation. Although that's one of the proofs of Allah that the philosophers show, and it's okay. Don't panic if you found Allah through that route. I think the Orafa don't like this. It's too simplistic. What do you mean? You're saying there's a creation, a sun and a moon, as if it's separate from Allah, and through this creation you find this other entity called Allah. You're separating the two. They're inseparable. Now here Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, in the dua Arafah, he says, kayfa yustadallu alayk, how can you be proved Allah, how can Allah be proved? By means of bima huwa fi wujudihi muftaqirun ilayk, by means of something. How can you, Allah, be proved? By means of something whose existence depends on you. Where are you going? What are you doing? You want to find Allah through something whose existence depends on Allah. You're going the wrong route. أَيَكُونُ لِغَيْرِكَ مِنَ الدُّهُورِ, is there any manifestation other than you, مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ, that isn't in unity with you? See? Is there any manifestation that isn't in unity with you? You can't separate anything from Allah because that's pure existence. You can't separate a created thing from existence, core existence. There can't be any manifestation Allah-less. حتى يكون هو المظهر لك, so that you say that that thing is manifesting you. Can there be such a thing? Is there any manifestation outside you for it to manifest you in the first place? No. متى غبت حتى تحتاج إلى دليل يدل عليك, when was Allah ever absent for you to need a proof to get to Him? He always was, is, will be pure existence. متى بعدت حتى تكون الآثار, when was Allah ever distanced so that تكون الآثار هي التي توصل إليك, so that when was he ever distanced from you so that these manifestations lead one to you? When was he ever distanced from you? You can't separate manifestations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the source of everything, infinite, one. So when they say we reach Allah through the sun, the moon, creation, that's not Allah, the real thing. It's the rational Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's at best a philosophical Allah, not the real thing. And then they give the example of fire and smoke. If you see smoke, it proves there's a fire. It's okay, these kind of proofs, but I mean, it's not the real Allah though. We want the real thing. Because even if you believe in the rational Allah, you believe and prove Allah rationally, philosophically, how is that going to help? You're still going to sin. You're still going to backbite. You're still going to, you know, do all these sins because it's not the real thing. It's like saying, imagine a lion. It's big, large. Everyone will still be seated where they are. You see the real thing, everyone will run out. We want the real thing. Once we become aware of our unity with the real Allah, it's impossible to sin. You can't sin. You're aware now with your unity with Allah. So nothing can independently manifest Allah. Nothing is independent from Allah. Whatever is in unity with pure existence. Whatever is inseparable from pure existence. Whatever is wholly dependent on pure existence. But, okay, we accept all this, but merely acknowledging all this still isn't enough. We want to see this pure existence, not with the physical eye, of course, because it's limitless. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Lam a'abud Rabban lam ara. I don't worship a Lord that I don't see. It's not the seeing of the eyes, though. Now, this is important. We want to see, be in unity with that, and with awareness, be in unity with that pure existence, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to see Him, not only acknowledge Him. That's not enough. Then we want to be Allah-like. As the sacred tradition says, Ate'ni aj'aluka mithli. Allah is saying, you obey me and I shall assign you like myself. Being a manifestation of all Allah's divine attributes. Now we're all in unity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by necessity. You can't be separated from Him. You can't be independent from Him. But we're not aware of that unity. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Whichever way you turn, there's the face of Allah. Face meaning essence, the who. This who manifests everywhere. Whatever is a manifestation of it. Wherever you turn, it's that who manifesting. كُلُّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. So we want to see this reality, the who, in all things, in all actions, in all praises and attributes. But we usually get drowned in the external aspects of things, which prevents us to gain access to the who, which transcends in all things. We get lost in the external limited forms and shapes of things. We get drowned in the effects, losing that cause. I think I've given this example before here, the example of the clothes shop. Someone enters and sees the pair of trousers. Someone sees a skirt, another a scarf, another a hat. But the Sufi, the Arif, after going through the Sharia, after progressing through the Tariqah, they see nothing but thread. La ilaha illallah. There's nothing there in that shop except thread. That existence, coexistence in our example. The hat, it's all thread. The trousers, the scarf, the gloves. When we say the hat is making our heads warm, is making warm this attribute, attributed to the hat or to the thread? It's the thread. The hat has no existence without the thread. The hat is inseparable from the thread. The hat is wholly dependent on the thread. La ilaha illahu. It's all Him. Everything in the shop, it's the thread in different shapes and forms. The thread isn't the hat. The thread isn't the skirt. The thread isn't the gloves. But the thread is in everything. Everything depends on it, existence-wise. When we say, oh, that hat is very beautiful, that beauty is attributed to who? The hat? No, again, it's attributed to the thread. It's all Him. And Lama Tabatabai apparently always used to say, Laysa Allahu. It's nothing but him. In one of the wars, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam had an event. Had a vision. He had an apparition in one of the wars, and he saw Hazrat Khidr. And Hazrat Khidr gave him one of the names of Allah. Ya man la hu illa hu. Oh, he who there's no him but him. Laysa illa hu. There's nothing but hu. Kullu yawmin hu fi shan. Allah is acting Allah-lay, moment to moment, just manifesting. There's nothing outside his jurisdiction. Existence, coexistence. Now, Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Omri, he has a book, Elahi Name, book of du'as, each du'a starting with Elahi. And it's a little ma'rifah behind the du'as, and it's in prose. Since it's in Farsi, I just read this one line in Farsi and I'll translate. It says, Elahi, guruhi ku guyand, wa Hassan hu. Who? Look at the ma'rifah. You should be able to understand this now after this lecture. He says, oh Allah, many people say, where? But Hassan, his name is Hassan, Hassan Zadeh Omri, but Hassan says, he. Some people are in search of a, where is Allah? What do you mean, where is Allah? You have to say, where is Allah not? What do you mean, where is Allah? What are you doing? What are you searching for? But then it'll be a few concepts maybe. Well, that won't build you spiritually. Many people are saying, where? Ku. Hassan is saying, who? Nothing is ever Allah free. He sees Allah in everything. At-tawhidu is'atul izafat. Tawhid is cancelling the additional matters. Getting to the who of everything. That who which transcends in everything. Okay. Now, just if you'll be patient for another 10 minutes, because this point, since I want to speak about Messianism from tomorrow, if we just get over this one point, inshallah, it's an important point. When we say who, that's in relation to Allah's essence, the essence of Allah. But then there's another term we call Allah's attributes, the sifatullah, or sawfullah. Then we sometimes read in books that Allah's attributes is his essence. There's no difference between his essence and his attributes. His essence is his attributes per se. Well, the problem there is, okay, if we have access to Allah's attributes, him being Rahman, Rahim, so on and so forth. And if his attributes is his essence, so why can't we get access to his essence, which we can't? Now this, it's because of a misunderstanding, only in words, and one gets drowned in it and loses picture. So the next 5 or 6 minutes, I just want to elucidate on this point, for you to understand the difference between essence and attributes. And this I'll be doing in accordance with a protocol that Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh has in one of his books. He gives an example of the human being who has an essence, and that human being having attributes. And once we understand it in the human being, it'll be much easier then to understand it in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say that I eat, I play, I study, I drive. This I, in all these scenarios, is manifesting. It manifests eating, manifests playing. The I manifests studying, driving. But what is the I? We're seeing it playing and eating and driving and saying, okay, thank you. But we want to see what the I is, the first person singular, the essence of me. We know of its manifestations, its eating, playing and so on and so forth, but what is the I itself? Then we say, okay, I'll tell you what it is. One step ahead, then we sit in our everyday dialogue, we say, my spirit, my mind, my mouth, my ears, my going to this place. But we can say my spirit. What is that my though? All these are manifestations of the my, even the spirit. The spirit has a beginning to it. These are all multiplicities of the I, of that my mind. That mind, that spirit, all manifestations of the I. But we want to know what the I is. Do we show them our passport? For example, it gives the name Farouk, the name. 70 kilograms, this much height. The mother was this, the father was that. Is that sufficient as what the I is, what the essence of me is? No, these are all just pluralities, manifestations of me. The 70 kilograms, this color skin, this height, this weight. All these are just manifestations of me. But what is me? What is that I? I want to know what that is, that essence of me. That's what I'm looking for. That I, okay, it is an eater. It is a player. It is a studier. It is one who studies. It is one who drives. You're right. The I is the driver. The I is the eater. It has a number of other attributes, but we never say the I is the eater, period. Eating, playing, driving, studying, they're all manifestations of that I. But we want to know what the I is. What is the I minus all those manifestations? Take away the eating, take away the drinking, take away everything. Get to the essence of it. What is that I? Because all those manifestations are attributed to the I, emanate from the I. We want to know what the I is. That I, okay, the Orafor call it, that unseen essence, reality, and they can call it whatever they want, but what is it? What is that I? When you say Farouk, for example, you recall a face, the way he speaks, his job, his eyes, his family, but okay, take away all that away. What is Farouk? What is that I? We want to know that, the essence. Is it the body? Is it the eyes? What is it? We say, no, they're just manifestations of the I. It's none of these things alone. All these different actions and attributes, they all manifest the I, but they're different to the I. He plays, he eats, studies, 70 kilograms. Speaks on the member, does all that. All these are manifestations and attributes of the I. We want to know what the I is. It's different to the I, but it's also inseparable from the I. The I is I, always manifesting incessantly, moment to moment. And actually all these manifestations are a hijab, a veil to the I. We can easily get drowned in the manifestations. Getting drowned in the manifestations into the effects acts as a hijab, a veil to gain access to the essence, to the cause. And rarely can one pierce through this veil of veils. It requires the Sharia and the Tariqah. But being attentive towards the eye in the complete sense, if one manages it, it's heavy stuff. Man arafa nafsa, arafa rabba. One who acquires gnosis with a G of oneself, of the I, acquires gnosis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is this I? The body can't be the I, because the I is always constant. When we're playing, eating, growing, the body changes when we're 4 years of age and 40 years of age. All these change, but the I is the same I. This I in our, when we were 4, is the same I as when we were 40. So the body can't be the I. What is it? Everything is manifesting the I. All actions, attributes are inseparable from the I. They're manifesting the I. You can't separate Farukh from the seer, the hearer, the studier. But the I encompasses all these attributes and actions. It's never separated from them. So there's an essence, the essence of me, for example. Qua seeing, i.e. Farukh, its essence, when in the domain of seeing, seeing being an attribute, it's given a name. That concrete essence of me, the I, when seeing, it's given a name. That name is Is. That seeing is the attribute, sifat, wasf. Me, I. When that I manifests as seeing, that I is now called the seer, basir. When that I is hearing, hearing being the attribute, essence plus that attribute of hearing, that I is now called samir. When I, the essence of me, is writing, becomes katib, the writer. All these are names, inseparable from the I, manifesting the I, but it's not the I. So his essence, coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in unity with his attributes, but they're not, it's not his attributes though. His essence is something else. All attributes of Allah are manifestations of that who. In order to get access to the who, we'll never have full access to the who, the essence of Allah. That's impossible. But even one has to not be veiled from Allah's manifestations. That's a whole different debate now. It enters the realm of Siru Suluk and that thing. But that's not the... Don't enter that. So when Allah is regarded as Raziq, the provider of sustenance, whenever you see sustenance in the world, it's Allah manifesting. When you go to the grocery, or any form, even sustenance, of abstract sustenances, it's Allah's raziqiyya, this attribute is just manifesting. The who is manifesting. There it's manifesting as the provider of sustenance. Allah is all-knowing at the nursery, university, at school. All the learnings that happen, the teaching that happens, in all these different realms of education, it's all Allah at play. Kullu yawmin huwa fi shan. His being alim. Although in all things and in all actions, who transcends with all its attributes. This is quite a delicate point, and I'll end here. In all things and actions, Allah in his entirety is manifesting. But due to the degree and capacity of the recipient, it manifests in different ways. Allah's raziqiyya, his being alim, his being hakim, his being ghafoor, all of it is manifesting in all actions. But it's due to the degree, the context, and the different parameters of time, space, geography, context, they manifest in a different way. There's no gradation and there's no degree in the existence of Allah. All His attributes, who transcends in all things. Where there is a gradation, where there is speaking of degree, where there is, in Arabic, tashkik, it's in manifestation, not in existence. He is transcending in all things, in all actions. But depending on the recipient, it manifests differently. Okay, thank you for being very patient. I think tomorrow, inshallah, from tomorrow night, I'll read Zikr Musibat every night.